Judges chapter 14, 1 to 20, God's use of and Samson's blessing loss in his lustful break of part of his Nazarite vow. In today's world, God lets many people express sinful lusts that are self-destructive and lack his blessing. God lets people in business express the self-destructive lust for money. Stephanie Armour and Jonathan D. Rockoff had a story. Shkreli takes fifth before the Congress in the Wall Street Journal, told how former pharmaceutical executive Martin Shkreli prompted a public outcry for raising the price of a life-saving medication with a 50-fold increase. And of course, Congress is responding by investigating. I think that the pill he charged was raised up to like, $1,000 or $900, something like that. It was dreadfully. It's a life-saving pill, but he was just trying to make money. God lets people in politics express the self-destructive lust for money. An editorial in the same paper, Hillary's Wall Street Reckoning, claimed that the flood of money to Mrs. Clinton out of Wall Street is one reason why no one believes her when she talks about breaking up banks and jailing their employees. So it's very difficult for her to take that stand that she's with it when she's receiving so much money. In fact, in one speech that she gave, I believe from Goldman Sachs, she was awarded, three or four speeches, $625,000. And it's real tough for her to explain that. Well, God lets famous people indulge in lusts that lead to self-destruction. Supermodel Stephanie Seymour, known for her appearances in Victoria's Secret ads and Sports Illustrated swimwear issues, was arrested on January 15, 2016 in Greenwich, Connecticut for driving under the influence. Comedian Bill Cosby, one time America's Dad of television fame, is facing prosecution for allegedly drugging and sexually assaulting a former Temple University employee following a recent ruling by a judge. God lets people at the local level express self-destructive lust. Former Secretary of Labor, Treasury, and State George P. Shultz, in an op-ed, "We Cut Smoke and Why Not Drug Use," told of an epidemic in the use of heroin in New Hampshire, especially among young people. Incidentally, this whole issue of drugs in New Hampshire and the abuse of drugs was raised in the recent primaries. It's up there. It's a big, big issue. "Well, use of this drug is damaging their brains and their bodies, and at our last Thanksgiving Eve service, two young adults told me that several youth in the area had died of overdoses in heroin. Apparently, four young adults in Torrington alone have died from bad cases of heroin overdose." And I think this couple knew these kids. So we ask, why does God let so much lust be expressed that is self-destructive and misses his blessing? Well, though God handed Samson the enabling of a lifelong Nazarite to start to free Israel from Philistine rule with blessing, he still let Samson indulge in lust in Judges chapter 14, 1 to 20, breaking most of his Nazarite vow. I'd like to read those 20 verses in Samson in Judges chapter 14. "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and he told his father and his mother and said, 'I have seen a woman in Timnath of the Philistines, a daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife.'" There's a wife. "Then his father and his mother said unto him, 'Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all your people that you go to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleases me well.' But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then Samson went down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore him as one would have torn a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father and his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof of his hands, and he went on eating. He came to his father and his mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, but he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so was the custom of the young men. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. These would be like along with the best men. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it to me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if you cannot declare it to me, then shall you give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, put forth your riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness. But they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that we have? Is it not so? To take what we have? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it to me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it to my father or my mother. Shall I tell it to you? And she wept before him for 7 days while the feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, behold, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, about 23 miles away. And he slew 30 Philistines there, and took their spoil, and gave the change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given unto his best man, whom he had used as his best man, or his companion, whom he had used as his best man. Okay, there's a lot of culture here, and a lot of things that went on. The Lord had required that Samson be a Nazarite from the womb, separated unto God from the sinful world throughout his life, that God's Spirit might use him in battle to deliver Israel from the Philistines. Now, a Nazarite is a person who had to undergo a vow for three things. This is in Numbers chapter 6, 1 to 8. And you'll recall when we were going through the book of Numbers, we covered this. A Nazarite was required of God to avoid partaking of grapes, whether they were raisins, whether it was the fruit of the vine itself, the grapes themselves, whether it was wine that was produced from the grapes. He could not partake of the fruit of the vine. Number two, he was not supposed to defile himself by touching a dead body, primarily a human dead body, but any kind of a dead body like that, a body that where there had been corruption. And he was to avoid cutting his hair while under his vow as a Nazarite. So those three things, not supposed to drink grapes or grape juice, he was not supposed to touch a dead body, and was not supposed to have his hair cut. Nevertheless, Samson soon violated two of these rules while indulging in a life of sinful lust. As a young man, Samson one day walked 4 miles to Timnath in Philistine country from his town, where he saw Ra'ah, a Philistine woman, and as parents then arranged for the wedding, Samson returned home to ask his parents to acquire her to be his wife. Now, that's interesting. He went, he saw, he didn't even talk to her. He just saw her from a distance and said, I want to marry her. Went back to his parents and said, get her for me as a wife. She looks good to me. Obviously, he's going just on the lust of the external, the lust of the eyes. Well, the Mosaic law forbade Israelites from marrying Gentiles in Exodus 34:16. So Samson's parents asked him why he did not want to get a wife from Israel, that he not wed a vile Philistine. The term uncircumcised here is used in a derogatory sense. Why get a vile Philistine? So Samson's expressed lust of his eyes was behind his desire for this woman. We're going to find this out not only in this message, but in the message that is coming following this, that Samson lived out a life of lust, and it ended up really snake biting him terribly. And there's a tremendous lesson here, especially for young people, to avoid lust, because lust only backfires. It only hurts the person who expresses it. Well, his parents were understandably upset over Samson's choice, but they went with him down to Timnath to arrange for the marriage based only on Samson's lust for his eyes for this woman. And on the way, Samson left his parents, likely to eat grapes at a vineyard in violation of his Nazarite vow. All right? So, there a young lion, a kapir, a very powerful lion, known for youthful strength, roared against him. The Spirit of God came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion, probably in the way that Near Easterners rend a goat, pulling it in half by the hind legs. After they would slay the goat in order to depart it, they would take the goat, tip it upside down by the back legs, part it this way. Samson apparently got a hold of this lion. The lion probably leaped up at him. He threw him. I've heard of dog catchers doing this, grabbing the lion by the throat, throwing him over you, getting the hind legs twirling around, and then he just split the lion apart with the hind legs. The amount of human power to do this would have been enormous. We don't have people that are that strong. They just tear a lion in two from the legs up. But that's what he did, and he killed this lion. Demonstrated the power of God that was upon him to do this tremendous act. Well, the Spirit of God came mightily on him. He tore the lion, probably in the way the Near Easterners rend a goat, pulling it in half by the hind legs. He had no tool in his hands, and he did not tell his parents about the event, likely to avoid telling them that he had met the lion en route to eating prohibited grapes. Samson was... He was just basically living his life doing what he wanted to do as far as he could get by with it. Samson then met, and then he talked with the woman that he wanted to marry. He'd already decided to marry her, and then he talked to her. And she still pleased him. So after a time, and in accordance with the marital customs, he returned to Timnath to consummate his marriage. But he briefly turned aside to see what had happened to the carcass of the lion that he had slain. He found a swarm of bees in the lion, and violating his Nazarite vow with a lust for the honey, he reached into the body to take of the bees' honey and went on his way eating, taking some to his parents without saying where he got it, as he likely hid them from them, this violation of his Nazarite vow. Incidentally, once he did this, God could have decided to withdraw his power from Samson right then, but he didn't. This is one of the great evidences that the God of the Old Testament is a God of grace. He waited until Samson violated all three, including the third one, which was the cutting of the hair. Only when he violated all three of them did God withdraw his power. So if anyone says to you that God, the God of the Old Testament, is not a gracious God, they have not read the life of Samson. This man was living a life of lust. He was living a life of sin. And only when he violated all three, only as he got to the third one, did God withdraw his power from him. Demonstrates the tremendous grace of God. Well, when his father came down to Timnath for the wedding, Samson made a seven-day feast that included the drinking of wine made from grapes. So he then violated a second part of his Nazarite vow. And of course, that would have been in front of his father. So here he is. He's violated two of his three. He's touched the dead body, and he's drunk from grapes. He only has one more violation to go, and that is his hair. Now, at the feast, Samson proposed a riddle about his acquisition of the honey from the lion's body, offering to reward the 30 friends of the bridegroom the Philistines had provided with 30 festal garments and undergarments, were they to give him the answer to his riddle. These festal garments, incidentally, were often embroidered. They were very expensive. And so for Samson to get this, he would obviously have to take this from some Philistines. Well, the Philistines secretly threatened Samson's bride with death by fire for her and her father if she did not entice him to give her the answer. So she nagged Samson for it until he told her. When the Philistines heard the answer to the riddle from Samson's bride and told it to him, he realized they had pressured his bride for the answer. So he went 23 miles down to Ashkelon of the Philistines, and by the power of God's Spirit, he slew 30 Philistines there. He took their garments back to Timnath to give to the friends of the bridegroom, and in fury, he went back home without consummating his marriage. Samson is a tremendous study in self-destruction. Tremendous. But I know people, and I have known of people like that who've lived lives like that. I go back to... in high school, some of the kids I knew, their theme was like, live in the fast lane, die young, and leave a good-looking corpse. That's essentially, that was their view of life. And this looks exactly what Samson is doing. Well, God sovereignly, graciously used Samson to achieve his will in helping Israel to start to become liberated from Philistine rule in spite of Samson's indulgence and lusts. But Samson paid a steep price in a lack of personal blessing due to his choice to indulge in sinful lust instead of obeying the Lord. Regardless of his expressions of lust and his two violations of his Nazarite vow in trying to obtain a Philistine wife, God's Spirit still graciously, greatly enabled Samson to do two things. First of all, to slay a lion, and also to kill 30 Philistines. This is the first group of Philistines that Samson killed. But that's what God wanted him to do. He wanted him to start slaying Philistines. Well, God's reason for thus using Samson, regardless of his choice to live in sinful lust, was his plan to use Samson to slay many Philistines, that God might thus start delivering Israel from the Philistine oppressions. But go back to verse 4, where his father and mother had critiqued Samson and said, "Why can't you get a girl from Israel?" and so forth. Verse 4 of Judges 14 says, "But his father and his mother did not know that it was of the Lord." Now, this doesn't mean that God was making Samson sin. What it means is that God was allowing Samson to do this because God had a purpose. It was of the Lord because he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. God was going to use Samson one way or another to destroy Philistines. Now, Samson had a choice. He could either do it the way that was pleasing to the Lord and God would bless him, or he could do it in a way that was not pleasing to the Lord and the Lord would not bless him. For example, what if Samson had decided, you know what, I'm going to live a righteous life. I'm going to choose a girl from Israel. He married a girl from Israel. Everything went fine. He had a family and so forth. Then he could take on the Philistines and he could start defeating them. And he probably could have destroyed all of the Philistine warriors. God had given him that kind of a strength. In fact, one time we're going to find out that he actually picked up the gates of a city at about the weight of a pickup truck and carried them on his shoulders uphill for 38 miles and then sat on it. I mean, that's enormous strength. And that kind of a strength as a soldier, he could have defeated the entire Philistine army. But he didn't. He threw that tremendous opportunity away. But nevertheless, God was going to use him one way or another. Now, however, Samson's disobedience to God in choosing a Philistine bride and his acts of sinful lust led to his great loss of blessing. Failing to consummate his marriage in fury over his interactions with the Philistines, who pressured his bride to nag him for the answer to his riddle, led the Philistines to think that Samson did not want his bride, so they gave her to his best man. Samson thus did not obtain the wife that he had desired. You know, it's really tragic. He had wanted to marry this girl, this Philistine girl. He never did because of sin and because of the way he was expressing his lusts. He never did. So though God sovereignly equipped Samson to achieve his purpose to start delivering Israel from Philistine domination, he gave Samson the liberty either to heed his biblical will apart from indulging in lusts that he might experience God's rich personal blessing, or to indulge in sinful lusts, to a self-destructive loss of God's blessing. That's a choice. That's what people do today. People can choose either to go the route of getting into a life of drugs or not. If you get into a life of drugs, your life will be cut short. All right? If you choose not to go the route of drugs, it's better off. It's kind of like the type of food we eat. I've heard the saying, you are what you eat. If a person chooses to eat a diet that is unhealthy, he's not going to live as long, and he's going to have a lot of health problems. If he chooses rather to eat a diet that is healthy, he's going to tend to live longer, and he's going to be better off. But the choice is a person's. So if tempted to indulge in self-destructive sinful lusts, may we trust in Christ to be saved and be indwelt by the Holy Spirit to be enabled to live righteously. Now, may we then rely in a life of faith on the Holy Spirit for the power to live righteously apart from lust, that God might both fulfill his sovereign will in our lives while also richly blessing us. I've got a positive illustration that I'd like to share with you in the conclusion part of our sermon of a person who chose to go the route opposite that Samson did. Some years ago, I knew a young Christian woman who was convinced that God wanted her to be a wife and a mother. However, she found herself in the awkward position of having a boyfriend that she had first had thought was a Christian, only later when she had become emotionally attached to him to realize that he was not saved. That was a troubling realization, for she knew that 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 taught that believers should marry only believers. In fact, that verse says, be not unequally yoked together with the unsaved. And that applies in marriage, it applies in business and realms like that. Well, she had a difficult decision to make. She could either violate Scripture by staying in the relationship with the boyfriend, only eventually to marry him, to keep her emotions from being hurt, or to break her relationship with him in obedience to the Lord and trust God in time to provide someone else who is biblically qualified for her to marry. Well, she decided to trust God and make the emotionally hard move of breaking her relationship with her boyfriend. The step was understandably proved to be quite painful, but she courageously took the step as an act of faith in the Lord. I'll never forget one day she was talking with me about it and sharing with me and how the tears were there, how difficult this decision was for her. But in time, God richly rewarded her. God led her to marry a committed Christian man and be very blessed in her marriage and family life. For choosing to live above lust and even immediate emotional gratification, to heed the word of God, what Samson failed to do, this woman saw God fulfill her heart's desire with his blessing. And I would encourage that for all the young people that we have. I know a number of us here have children who are young adults, some who are married, some who may not yet be married. Many of us have grandchildren, and we can be concerned about them. We can always share with them the testimony of those who have chosen to follow the Lord and to obey the Lord. And boy, the Lord doesn't let his people down. So may we trust in Christ for salvation. May we rely on the indwelling Holy Spirit to avoid sinful lusts, that we obtain God's richest blessings in our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm so grateful for the word of God that we have in our own language. And here we see the life of a man who was given tremendous ability. Tremendous ability as a real champion, as a warrior. And we know in one place that he actually slew 1,000 men single-handedly at one time. Tremendous ability, and yet he wasted it in a life of sin and lust. It's so tragic. And yet we can learn from that. The Bible tells us that whatsoever was written before time was written for our instruction, that we might learn and that we might have hope. And so we ask, Father, that we would learn from Samson's failures to do what he did not do, and that is to look to God. Instead of giving our lives over to a life of lust, that we would live righteously in the power of the Spirit of God and obey the Lord, that we might not only be successful for the Lord, but we might indeed be blessed of him. Father, we ask that if there are any who may be listening to this message on the webcast, or maybe even someone who's in our congregation this morning who as yet has not accepted Christ as Savior, that they would see their need of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that by faith in him they might have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.